Chapter 17, text 17. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Dharma uvacha.
Dharma uvacha.
Etadva pandaveyanam.
Etadva pandaveyanam.
Yuktamartha bhayam vacha.
Yuktamartha bhayam vacha.
Yesham guna gunai krishno.
Yesham guna gunai krishno.
Dautya dho bhagavan krita.
Dautya dho bhagavan krita.
The personality of religion said, "These words just spoken by you befit a person of the Pandava dynasty. Captivated by the devotional qualities of the Pandavas, even Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, performed duties as a messenger, purport. The assurances and challenges made by Maharaj Prickett are never exaggerations of his real power. The Maharaj said that even the denizens of heaven could not escape his stringent government if they were violators of religious principles. He was not falsely proud, for a devotee of the Lord is equally as powerful as the Lord, or sometimes more powerful by his grace. And any promise made by a devotee, though it may be ordinarily very difficult to fulfill, is properly executed by the grace of the Lord. The Pandavas, by their unalloyed devotional service and full surrender unto the Lord, made it possible for the Lord to become a chariot driver or sometimes their letter messenger. Such duties executed by the Lord for his devotees are always very pleasing to the Lord, because the Lord wants to render service to his unalloyed devotees, whose life has no other engagement than service to the Lord with full love and devotion. Maharaj Prickshit, grandson of Arjuna, the celebrated friendly servitor of the Lord, was a pure devotee of the Lord like his grandfather, and therefore the Lord was always with him. Even from the time when he was helplessly lying in the womb of his mother and was attacked by the blazing Brahmastra weapon of Ashvatam, a devotee is always under the protection of the Lord, and therefore the assurance of protection by Maharaj Prickett could never be without meaning. The personality of religion accepted this fact and thus thanked the king for his being true to his exalted position."
Om Jnanate Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Malatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, again, just quick summary. Of course, we spoke many times that this is Sutta Goswami explaining the history of the Bhagavatam. It means it's history of its speakers and hearers. He's now discussing Maharaj Prickett, and he's discussing Maharaj Prickett's activities. And in discussing Maharaj Prickett's activities, they're relevant for two reasons. One reason they're relevant is because it shows what is the proper administration and management of a society or even a group. And unless the society or group that you're in has proper management or administration, it's very, very difficult to become Krishna conscious. So although the Bhagavatam leads to the goal of prema, which means full concentration, without any other distraction on the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It prepares you that for that goal in every way, both socially and individually, in terms of Gyan, in terms of Vairagya, in terms of Bhakti, in terms of government. So it's very, very significant. Actually, I thought of three reasons why these pastimes are significant. Another reason why the pastimes are significant is because although the Bhagavatam presents the highest truth, it's also for everyone. And therefore, it's meant to attract everyone. And therefore, you have calculation of time for the atoms to attract the scientist in Sataputta, and you have stories and pastimes, and you have kings, and you have wars. So it's also meant to attract everyone. And what does it mention in the third verse of the introduction of the Bhagavatam? Nigama kalpaturo galitam palam sukamukat amrita dravya samyatam. Dravya, it's easily digestible. So everyone could relish this, even though it's samyatam, it's completely perfect. And also, as discussed in this pastime itself, this is Krishna Katha. It may be sociology, it may be war, it may be government, it may be politics, but it's directly Krishna Katha because it's about Krishna's devotee, and therefore it's directly also about Krishna. So hearing about this is hearing about Krishna, because even the power of the king is the vibhuti or power of Krishna. So you hear about the activities of the pure devotee, you're hearing about the activities of Krishna. Because every movement of the pure devotee, whether he's studying and chanting or managing and administrating, is moved by Krishna's internal potency. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita. It's daivim prakritim. It's the internal potency. It is love of Godhead. Every move is love of Godhead. So when you hear about Maharaj Prickett, who's a great king, you're also hearing about love of Godhead, just expressed in a more observable and practical way. So that's also there. So this is very, very, we can see, and I was talking to Jayadvaita Maharaj, how, is it topical? Is that the right word? You know, it's relevant for, we can see devotees are disturbed in their Krishna consciousness. I went to the temple yesterday just to see the deities, and different devotees, they want counseling. Why? Because socially they're disturbed because it's not the proper, you know, the administration is having some difficulties and it affects their own personal Krishna consciousness. So we want prema. But we live in a world, we live in a society, we live in a group, and we have to know how to do it properly so that people can be Krishna conscious. So these things are also proper. And just the wonderful point that's being presented when you see what a proper ruler is, the wonderful point that's being presented is that it's not necessarily a material formula of success. It's the satisfaction of Krishna by following his social rules. And it's not that we are the doers. By our power, by our management, everything becomes auspicious and success. It's not by any material formula. But it's executing Krishna's will by one who is competently trained and has the power, who is Dvijavara Sikshaya, who is under the instructions of the best of the Brahmins who actually know Krishna's will. So very, very relevant points are presented here. And just the brief story is as Sutta Goswami begins to explain Maharaj Prickett's activities, he explains how he had punished a miscreant who was torturing a cow and a bull. How he was punishing him, and how Shonaka Rishi, ultimately, really, he wanted to hear this because it was in connection with Krishna and therefore could make one deathless. which is so relevant to what Maharaj Prickett is going to actually hear. It can make one deathless. Krishna Katha is so wonderful. So he began to explain the story after Shonaka Rishi's inquiry, and he explained how the cow and the bull, the bull representing the personality of religion, and the cow representing the earth. The earth was crying, and the earth was crying, and the personality of religion, in the form of the bull, began to inquire. Just shut them 1 second. I'll get some of the. And he began to ask if various religious principles were being violated. Is that why you're suffering? Because from dharma comes auspiciousness, and from adharma comes inauspiciousness. So seeing the earth crying, there must have been inauspiciousness, which means that dharma is not being followed. And the cow answers, yes, this is actually a fact. And the reason that there's no dharma, and the reason why there's inauspiciousness, is because Krishna is absent, and in him reside religious principles. And therefore, the theme and the point, and it's going to be presented through this chapter, because you're going to see how Maharaj Prickett is so strong, and he chastises the miscreant. And Prabhupada makes the point, don't think if you don't have that powerful king, which we probably won't have, that you can't curb the agents of Kali, because the king represents the presence of Krishna. In the absence of Krishna, and the absence of the powerful king to represent him, then Krishna is there in the form of his message, in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, he will be there in the presence of his holy name and his message. And then Sita Goswami gets up to the point, we were discussing this, where he describes what happens when Maharaj Prickett comes, and he observes the symptoms of Kali Yuga, that low-class administrators are taking the position, low-class sudras are taking the position of the administrators, and that the religious principles are not being found. And the cow is calfless, it's hungry, it's beaten. These are the symptoms of irreligion when there's not a proper leader who is twice born. And when a proper leader is twice born, what does that mean? What is it, the culture of a proper leader? The culture of a proper leader is that he protects the subordinates. Very strongly protects the subordinates. That's the symptom of a proper leader, one who's cultured sees the cow as his mother. He sees those under him in a very, very respectful way. So Maharaj Prickett was cultured, and he came with a thundering voice, and this is what's happening here. The personality of religion said, yes, I believe your words. I believe that you have that power. I believe you will protect me. I believe what you said. He came and he said, yes, I will protect you. There's no fear. And then he said, who has done this? Who is the person who has done this? And then thinking that the cow or the bull will be reluctant to identify the perpetrator, he begins to explain that, no, to punish the miscreants is right. In fact, to punish the miscreants is dharma. And if someone doesn't punish the miscreants, then it's paro-dharma. For the kshatriya, kshatriya, kshat means hurt, and the triyate means to protect from hurt, is actually the business of a kshatriya. It's his business. And if he doesn't do it, if he doesn't protect, if he doesn't forcibly close the slaughterhouses, If he doesn't take strong action to protect those who are suffering in his kingdom by aggressors, if he doesn't do that, that's a dharma. And he will lose everything. He will lose his life, his fame, everything will be. This is his supreme duty, the paro dharma, to give protection to law abiding and chastise those. Now we get up to the, and now the personality of Godhead, hearing Marj Prikshit's question, who has done this, and then saying that why it's proper to chastise the what is it? Druha? Druham? Bhuta Druham. The one who kills or revolts against other living entities, it's proper to kill them. And you will be protected. Do not worry. So now today's verse. The personality of God had said these words just spoken by you befit a person of the Pandava dynasty. Captivated by the devotional qualities of the Pandavas, even Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, performed duties as a messenger. So the personality of religion did not take these words lightly. He's saying that, what is it that probably, that even, he's speaking, even the denizens of heaven could not escape my government if they violate religious principles. He did not take these words lightly because they are spoken by a descendant of the Pandavas, which means that they have a very intimate relationship with Krishna. And because they have a very intimate relationship with Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates with that relationship. And he protects the devotees. And he not only protects the devotee physically, but he protects the devotee's words. This thing, konti aprita janahi na me bhakta pranashati, also means, declare it boldly, my devotee will never perish. He told Arjuna to say that. Why? Because Krishna protects the words of his devotees. So if Arjuna says and he's a pure devotee, Krishna's bound to protect him. So therefore, when the personality religion hears these words spoken by someone in the Pandava family who's so intimate, they're so intimate with Krishna that Krishna reciprocates and serves them by personally becoming, what is the word here? Daut yadhau. He took the duty, Bhagavan Krita. Krishna took the duty of a messenger. He took the duty of a messenger. This is one time one of Prabhupada's godbrothers came here. Favorable godbrother, at least he was. Bhaktivedanta Puri Maharaj. And he gave class, and afterwards we took him up to one of the little rooms by the deities, and we gave him the Mahaprasad. I mean, even though he was like in his 80s, you know, he ate the halava, the puri, And then we told him that the success of the devotees in Russia. And he looked at us and he said something. He said it must be true that Krishna consciousness spreads in Russia because your Guru Maharaj said it. And then he said, konti aprita janahi na me bhakta panashyati, declare it boldly, my devotees never perish. And that means his words. Therefore, I am not surprised. It must be true. So it's even the words of a devotee are protected. So it's so nice also here, even though we're talking about management, and administration, the real essence of Krishna consciousness comes in again. And what's the essence of Krishna consciousness? That is bhakti. And what is the process of bhakti? That by serving Krishna, he responds. And that's how we advance. By Krishna's reciprocation to our simple service. Krishna responds. And he responds by giving us knowledge. He responds by maintaining us. He responds by protecting us. So he's saying, the Dharma is saying, your words I accept fully because they're spoken by you and you're in the Pandava dynasty. And you are also intimate with Krishna. Krishna came into your womb and protected you. So much devotion Krishna has, how he reciprocates, and therefore he's protecting his devotees. So all these things you said, your claims that the denizens of heaven, if they violate religious principles, your government can stop them. We accept these. Okay, we'll go on.
Navayam klesha bijani yatasyu purusharshaba purusham tam bijani mo bhakya veda vamohita.
O greatest among human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused our suffering. Because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of theoretical philosophers. So in text, in verses 12 and 13, Marge Prickett asked the bull who has done this, and this begins his answer, that it's very difficult to ascertain. The specific word was used was kartaham, who is the doer. So who is actually responsible for what happens to one? And there are many, many theories, and they're going to be discussed in the next verse, of exactly who is the doer. We'll go to Govardhan soon, and that was also a question that Krishna asked to his father, because his father was doing Indra Puja. And Krishna preached said, why are you serving Indra? Indra is not the doer. Indra is not the karta. He's not the doer of giving you your reactions. It happens automatically by your work. So even there you can see in Krishna's time, this question of the doer is there. And Krishna's father was not right, nor was Krishna right. But ultimately, Krishna just wanted to stop the Indra Puja, because what he wanted to do ultimately is establish religion. And what is ultimate religion? Ultimate religion is that Krishna is ultimately the controller and the cause of all causes.
Why Krishna was not right?
What? Because Krishna was preaching karma mamamsa. You remember? He was saying, why serve Indra. When you do work, automatically the results come. I was once in Jayapur and I went to one astrologer, and then his guru came. And he, I mean, this man's false ego is so big, they needed like a three chair, you know, a couch for him. I mean, he had rings and long gray hair, and he was like, and he looked at me and he said, why bhakti? He said, just if you perform an activity, and he named the astrological configuration, and all wealth, all that, all comes. They believe that, just by the karma. Although the cow or the bull, personality of religion, and the cow, the personality of earth, knew perfectly well that the personality of Kali was the direct cause of their suffering, still as devotees, they knew well that without the sanction of the Lord, no one can inflict trouble upon them. And then Prabhupada quotes from the Padma Purana about the cause of suffering. This is also mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. Klesha means suffering. It also means the cause of suffering. So even from a devotee's vision, when suffering comes to him, if he traces back the suffering from the gross to the subtle, to the origin of the suffering, It ultimately begins with his avidya being the cause, and his avidya leading to some type of reaction. And then what's manifest, if someone does something to one, that's not the ultimate cause. So, thus, even if the devotees see mischief mongers, they not accuse them for the suffering inflicted. Who has done that? perfect example is Duryodhana, Vidura, when he gets insulted and practically beaten and thrown out of the kingdom by Duryodhana. Prabhupada said a very interesting thing, how Vidura saw it. Vidura saw the internal energy within the external energy, or he saw them both there, the internal energy and the external energy. Because he saw that Vidura, that Duryodhana, influenced by illusion or the external energy, was insulting him. But he saw that Krishna was using Duryodhana's maya to purify him. So he saw the internal energy and the external energy both as the cause. And therefore, ultimately, he saw Krishna, because Vidura also is Yamaraj, you know, religion. So he saw Krishna. And therefore, his reaction is to look at his destiny and see what Krishna is telling him. And Krishna told him to leave. And Jiva Goswami makes a comment about Vimohita, Vakya Bhed. Bhed means difference. Vakya means words or speech or opinion. Vimohita, they're bewildered by these different opinions. So he's saying, you're asking me who did this. It's not easy for me to say, because there's so many different opinions of the Vakya. What does Vakya mean?
Vakya?
It says Vakya.
Vakya means words.
Words. Beda, Vakya. Different words. Beda means, no, Beda. Beda. Different words. Vimohita. We're illusioned by all these different words, by different opinions. And then Jiva Goswami makes the comment, speculative philosophers, however, do not recognize the sanction of the Lord. They try to find out the cause of suffering in their own way, as will be described in the following verses. According to Jiva Goswami, such speculators are themselves bewildered, and thus they cannot know that the ultimate cause of all causes is the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead. I was thinking how Prabhupada made everything simple. He could speak to all different philosophers, but he wasn't bewildered. It was very simple. What is your opinion? And this is what Krishna says. And based on what Krishna says, he can understand the relative value of other people's opinion. Kechid vikalpa vasana ahur atmana atmana daivam anye pare karma svabhavam apare prabhum. Some of the philosophers who deny all sorts of duality declare that one's own self is responsible for his personal happiness and distress. Others say that superhuman powers are responsible, and yet others say that activity is responsible, and the gross materialists maintain that nature is the ultimate cause. So who is the doer? So different opinions are there. Svabhavam, material nature, that's the atheists. Atheistic, materialistic, Shankarites conclude that material nature is the cause of all causes. According to them, combinations of material elements are the causes of material happiness and distress, and this disintegration of matter is the cause of freedom from all material pain. So that's one opinion, the materialist. Another opinion is karma, that's Jaimini. At the beginning is referred to above. Philosophers like Jaimini and his followers established that fruit of activity is the root cause of all distress and happiness, and that even if there is a superior authority, some superhuman, powerful gods or God, he or they are also under the influence of fruit of activity, because they reward results according to one's actions. So they believe in karma. And that's what Krishna told his father. Yes, you perform sacrifice, but the rain comes to everyone. So it's your work that causes the activity. So why are you worshipping Indra? Why are you worshipping the gods? And then there is daivim. What is it? Karma? Daivam netrena. That it's the superhuman, the divinity. And here it says, Impersonalists like Ashtavakra discover that the spiritual effulgence of Brahman is the cause of all causes. So in terms of Daivam, there's two. There's the impersonalists. They also believe in some supernatural. And then in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna declares himself the source of the impersonal Brahman. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. And therefore the personality of God is the cause of all causes. Now this one is a little bit difficult to understand. I can just read what Prabhupada said. It says, Jayadvaita Maharaj here, it says, one of the causes is vikalpa vasana. Atmanam atmana. Prabhupada just says in the Bhagavad Gita 6.5, also it is confirmed that one, by one's mind, freed from material affection, one can deliver himself from the sufferings of material pain. So one should not entangle oneself in the matter by the mind's material. Thus one's own mind is one's friend or enemy in one's material happiness and distress. So vikalpa, it also means vasana. Vasana means desires. Vikalpa means from the mind or imagining all kinds of desires. So it's born from one's own mind is the cause of one's activities.
Apatakyad anirdeshyad iti keshvapi nishchaya atranurupam nirrajarshe vimrisha swamanishaya.
There are also some thinkers who believe that no one can ascertain the cause of distress by argumentation, nor know it by imagination, nor express it by words. O sage among kings, judge for yourself by thinking over all this with your own intelligence. So, swa manishaya, by the power of your intelligence, vimrisha, judge yourself. So Maharaj Prickett is always called manisha, very, very thoughtful and very, very intelligent. So he can judge. Now, the way Prabhupada discusses this verse is also quite interesting. Some thinkers think that you can't know. And Prabhupada relates this to the atheists and sometimes the Christians who challenge our description of the law of karma. And they say, well, no one can know what happened in the past. So no one can actually ascertain the cause. So Prabhupada says, for the Vaishnavas, the devotees do believe, as above explained, that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. He is the Supreme Director, for he confirms in Bhagavad Gita that he is the all-pervading Paramatma, keeps vigilance all over actions and witnesses. So some believe that no one can ascertain, but also the devotees, they also have the sense that no one can ascertain. We can ascertain the cause, that it's Krishna. But we cannot ascertain the cause why Krishna is doing something. That we can't ascertain. No one can ascertain apratakyat, beyond the power of reasoning, anirdeshyat, beyond the power of thinking? Beyond the power of thinking. So, we can ascertain. It's not beyond the power of our thinking. It's not beyond the power of our reasoning to understand that Krishna is the ultimate cause. But to understand exactly why something happens, to understand, in other words, the cause of the Lord's actions, the reason why the Lord is giving some result, the reason why something is happening, that we cannot ascertain. And Prabhupada quotes Bhishmadev correctly estimated the inconceivable actions of the Lord. The conclusion is, therefore, that the suffering of the representative of religion and the representative of the earth, as present before Maharaj Prickett, was planned to prove that Maharaj Pariksit was the ideal executive head because he knew well. So we can't know the Lord's plan. When something is happening to us, we can't ascertain exactly why. It's too... Ultimately, understand that whatever comes to us is for our purification. But because our contamination is so intricate, and our karmas since time immemorial, then how Krishna is purifying us cannot be analyzed. Because our contamination is so intricate, and how Krishna has to purify our misconceptions and what he has to do. We should just know that whatever happens to us, we've caused by our own past activities and by our own mentality that needs to be purified. But how to purify that? And we see something happened, we can't understand why, but in 5 or 10 years when we look back, we see Krishna's genius. That this particular calamity that happened to us, this particular situation that happened to us, was exactly perfectly designed to respond to our mentality to rectify and correct it.
Sutta uvacha evam dharme pravatati sasamratvijasattama samahitena manasa Pakedapaya chastatam.
Sutta Goswami said, O best among the Brahmins, the Emperor Pariksit, just hearing the personality of religion speak, was fully satisfied, and without mistake or regret, he gave his reply. So the point that Prabhupada makes here in the purport that Pakeda, without any mistake, Paryachasta, he counter-replied. In other words, he asked the bull who has done this, and then the bull gave a very, very philosophical answer, and Maharaj Pariksit replied, Pakeda, without any doubt. Why? As Prabhupada said, the emperor, being also on an equal level of sagacity, sagacity, reply to the point without doubts and mistake. Unless one is perfectly conversant with the law of the Supreme Lord, one cannot speak such things touching philosophical truth. The statement of the bull, the personality of religion, was full of philosophy and knowledge, and the king was satisfied, since he could understand that the suffering bull was not an ordinary one. So he can understand this point. He was not vakya bedha vimohita, bewildered by all these differences of opinion. He can understand perfectly well this point. And therefore he replies, and this is a very, you can finish it with these, this verse is a very amazing verse.
Dharmam rajo vacha Dharmam pavishi dharmagya dharmosti visharupadrik yadadharma kritastanam suchakasyapi tadbhavet.
The king said, O you who are in the form of a bull, you know the truth of religion and you are speaking according to the principle that the destination intended for the perpetrator of irreligious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. You are no other than the personality of religion. So a dharma krita, one who acts irreligiously, suchakasya, and the one who identifies that, stanam. They get the same place. Why? They get the same place in the sense, because the root cause of all sin is not doing your duty. And what is your ultimate duty? I mentioned that before. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it, that ultimately our duty is determined by what we're made of and what we're made for. And as we are made of Krishna's energy and made for his service, our ultimate duty is to serve him. And to serve Krishna, you have to see him as the cause of all causes. So if you identify the perpetrator as the cause of your own activities, it means that you're not seeing God as the cause. You're not seeing that God is the cause. He identified the bull as the personality of religion is because he saw Krishna as the cause of all causes and not the perpetrator. And because he had that vision, he saw that he was religion personified, which is based on seeing Krishna as the supreme controller. Just like that story again is it with Duryodhana, when he got kicked out of the palace and Vidura got kicked out of the palace and was insulted by Duryodhana, he immediately identified Krishna as the cause. And because he identified Krishna as the cause, he could be his devotee. He saw it in terms of what does Krishna want. And he saw that, yes, Krishna has done this. Therefore, what does Krishna want? Krishna wants me to leave the palace and become renounced. But if he identified Duryodhana, why have you done this to me? And then reacted on the basis of false ego, that I am the controller and I am the doer. In other words, Vidura immediately saw Krishna and immediately saw himself as Krishna's servant. So he thought in terms of Krishna's service, which is dharma. Savai pumsa paro dharma yato bhakti radoksaji. That's ultimate dharma. So he saw in terms of dharma what is Krishna's desire and how I can serve him and how I can please him. But if he wasn't recognizing Krishna and seeing himself as the servant and was in a ahankara, I am the doer, I am the controller, then he would see that the Odin to kick him out of the palace is, why are you making me less enjoy? I want to be in the palace. Why are you insulting me? I am a great person. I am this. I am that. Why are you diminishing my ego? Why are you insulting me? I will fight you. So it's the same destination for one who is the perpetrator and one who identifies. And we can read, Prabhupada said, a devotee's conclusion is that no one is directly responsible for being a benefactor or mischief monger without the sanction of the Lord. Therefore, he does not consider anyone to be directly responsible for such actions. But in both cases, he takes it for granted that either benefit or loss is God-sent, and thus it is his grace. In case of benefit, no one will deny that it is God-sent. But in case of loss or reverse, one becomes doubtful how the Lord could be so unkind to his devotee as to put him in great difficulty. Jesus Christ was seemingly put into such great difficulty, being crucified by the ignorant, but he was never angry at the mischief mongers. That is the way of accepting a thing, either favorable or unfavorable. Thus, for a devotee, the identifier is equally a sinner like the mischief monger. By God's grace, the devotee tolerates all reverses. Marge Prickett observed this, and therefore he can understand that the bull was no other than the personality of religion himself. In other words, a devotee has no suffering at all because so-called suffering is God's grace for a devotee who sees God in everything. So anything that happens to the devotee, he sees God's will and he sees God's benevolence. And therefore he sees everything in terms of enlightenment. This is how a devotee views destiny. This is the reality. The reality is that destiny, or what happens to us, is coming by God for our enlightenment. And therefore it's very, very much connected with what's internally inside us. And therefore, because we see it is meant for our purification, then we are not despondent. Just like when you go to a doctor with a serious disease, he may cut open your boil, but you're not depressed. You're very, very happy. because he's going to be purifying you. Or you go to the dentist and you have some rotten tooth, he's going to pull it, there's going to be pain, but you're satisfied. The cow and the bull never placed any complaint before the king for one being tortured by the personality of Kali, although everyone lodges such complaints before the state authorities. The extraordinary behavior of the bull made the king conclude that the bull was certainly the personality of religion. But no one can understand the finer intricacies of the codes of religion. And this is actually what a saintly man is. We have any questions? Okay, we have Srila Prabhupada ki jai.